All right. It is the Chief Zone Podcast. My name is Farzi Visugin, your host of the Chief Zone Podcast. Thank you all for downloading and listening to another episode of the Chief Zone. Hope you're all having a great week and getting through as we begin week 10 of the NFL season. Hard to believe now we're this far into the season. You know, former Chiefs running back Larry Johnson tweeted, and he said, when you're winning this much, the season goes by very fast, very fast. And when you lose a lot, it goes by slow. And, you know, the Chiefs have been on both sides of the coin in recent memory where you start 9-0 in 2013. You start 5-0 this year and last year, and it feels like it goes by fast. And yeah, last year's actually a great example when the Chiefs had that five-game winning streak to start the season. Went by fast. When they lost five of their next six, went by very slow. Very, very slow. And then ending the season on a four-game winning streak, that definitely felt like the season went by a little bit faster. So that's how it works sometimes. But hopefully, we know, maybe that just means Eric Berry's going to return sooner than we expect if the season's going by fast. I don't know. But that's really how it feels right now. Hard to believe we are now going into, what is it, week 10. Of the NFL season. Nine games in the books for the Kansas City Chiefs have yet to complete their bye week, by the way. That'll be on the week of Thanksgiving. And the Chiefs return to Arrowhead on Sunday. They will play the Arizona Cardinals. We will break down that game. Talk about why the Cardinals just have been a really bad football team this season and the keys the Chiefs will need in that football game to prevent an upset. I will discuss that. Also, one key player for the Chiefs recently sustained an injury. I'll tell you who that is and why he is expected to miss Sunday's game. But there's been some overconfidence from Chiefs fans with this football game, and I'm not a big fan of this. Not a notion I can get behind. I have to criticize Chiefs fans a little bit later on as well. But a couple of Chiefs players have returned from injury. No, not Eric Berry. Not one of them, but there are two others who returned to practice this week. We will talk about that. Plus, one Chiefs player earned AFC Player of the Week honors. A lot to get into on this episode of the Chiefs Zone Podcast. If you want to interact with me, do so in a couple of ways. Social media, best way to do so, facebook.com/FarziandVisugian. That is my Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, go on there, go to my page, give it a like, follow me on there. We also do our Facebook Live videos at halftime and after every game on game days, so join us for that this Sunday at halftime against the Cardinals, and then after the game, the conclusion of the game between the Chiefs and Cards, and we will do a Facebook Live then as well. You guys can also follow me on Twitter, at Farzine21, plus my email, Farzine@FarzineVisugian.com. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. You can also hit that share button right there to let your friends know about the podcast. Spread the word. Share the love for the Chiefs Zone Podcast with all of your friends who are Chiefs fans and non-Chiefs fans as well. All right, as I mentioned, a lot to get into, but not going to be a very long episode here. Not a lot happening in the news with the Kansas City Chiefs. A couple of things that we'll quickly touch on. First big one, Kareem Hunt wins AFC Player of the Week honors. If you guys remember last week, I thought that a Defensive Player of the Week was going to come from the game between the Chiefs and the Browns, and I thought it was going to be Dee Ford, but obviously I missed on that one. In fact, I should have predicted that for the other side of the football, on the offensive side, because that's what ended up happening. Kareem Hunt winning AFC Player of the Week honors, ran 91 yards and a pair of touchdowns on the ground, also had one catch that went 50 yards into the end zone, and altogether, 141 total yards off 18 touches for three scores. So a big game for Kareem Hunt. The second time this season he's had three touchdowns in a single game. And by the way, when you look at some of the Player of the Week honors the Chiefs have received this year, in weeks one and two, Patrick Mahomes took AFC Offensive Player of the Week honors. At some point, you know, you thought he was going to win every single week when he opened up the first 2 weeks as Player of the Week for the AFC on the offensive side. And then the Chiefs won a few weeks not being able to come away with one. They were candidates for sure with Patrick Mahomes, and I'm sure Tyreek Hill as well. But in week 8, Dee Ford won AFC Defensive Player of the Week honors. So, you know, to some that may have been a surprise, that's at one point that a defensive player would have won Player of the Week honors for the Chiefs. But Dee Ford won last week, and this past week, Kareem Hunt taking home Offensive Player of the Week for the AFC. So good to see the Chiefs, different players. You know, at some point, we're going to learn about the Pro Bowl results and the voting there. And you can definitely expect guys like Patrick Mahomes for sure to be on there. Kareem Hunt has a good chance. Tyreek Hill, definitely you would imagine he's on there. Dee Ford, also a guy who could be on the bubble. You never know with defensive players. Some of them get the shine, some of them don't. But we'll see who from the Chiefs will get into the Pro Bowl very soon. In fact, I'll have a piece about that on Arrowhead Addict in the near future, so be on the lookout for that. Other bit of Chiefs news, the Chiefs activate safety Dan Sorensen, who had a leg injury in the preseason, or in training camp actually, is now back at practice. He practiced on Wednesday, and the corresponding move in putting Sorensen on the 53-man roster, outside linebacker Nate Orchard was waived by the Chiefs, which means they felt confident that Justin Houston would return to practice, and that's exactly what happened on Wednesday. Justin Houston practiced for the Chiefs on Wednesday. We'll see how things go the rest of the week for Sorensen, Houston, as well as some other Chiefs. Players who did not practice, Sammy Watkins, Mitch Morse, Cam Irving, Anthony Hitchens, and Eric Berry. Which, of course, the Barry news, not a surprise to anyone. But Ian Rappaport did put out a tweet on Wednesday morning that Sammy Watkins could miss Sunday's game against the Cardinals with a minor foot injury. Now, obviously, Sammy Watkins, one of the key guys. And even though he may not have a big game statistically each and every single week, Sammy Watkins is contributing on the offense. He definitely is. Again, it doesn't show up on that cheap, but the fact that you have two speedy receivers and Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill, it opens up the door for one of those guys, or maybe even Travis Kelce, or maybe even one of the running backs in Kareem Hunt, Spencer Ware. There are so many players on this offense that can make plays for this football team that maybe a guy like Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill, by the way, didn't have a single catch in the second half this past week against the Browns, and a big part of that was due to the fact that he's obviously occupying a lot of eyes from that secondary for the Browns. He gets double-teamed, triple-teamed, and not that he can't escape that, but that does open up the door for other guys. And in this game specifically, we saw Travis Kelce and Kareem Hunt get a lot of the duties there. They were so focused on Tyreek Hill in the passing game, they forgot to stop Kareem Hunt in the running game. And we also saw Spencer Ware get some duty time on the gridiron. So you have so many guys to account for. And I saw in the Broncos game, during that game as it was going on, some fans were tweeting, oh, well, it's good to finally see Sammy Watkins get his worth with this football team because of his contract. And I thought that's an unfair statement to make, because the reason Tyreek Hill had a monster game against the Patriots earlier this year on Sunday Night Football was because of the fact that the Patriots secondary had to account for Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill. Oh, and Bill Belichick, of all people, he surely knows that Andy Reid is going to use his running backs quite a lot. So you got to account for everybody on this Chiefs offense. You just cannot double team or triple team Tyreek Hill every single time. Number one, he's just going to win that battle. Number two, even if you do triple team him and you beat him on that, okay, well, someone else is going to get wide open. Maybe even a guy like Chris Conley or DeMarcus Robinson can come through. DeAnthony Thomas can make a play here and there. So there are so many guys to account for. Just because Sammy Watkins may not have a big game statistically every single week doesn't mean he is occupying all this money on the salary cap. I get it. Statistically, it may not be the most exciting thing in the world, but for coaches, for people who follow this game so closely and can understand what 11 players can do on an offense or a defense, you know that a wide receiver, an elite wide receiver, if he has a quote-unquote bad game, meaning on the stat sheet, well, that's because either one, he had a terrible day and just wasn't doing good, or It could be because he's distracting a lot of these defenders, and it opens up the door for someone else to get open and make some plays. And you've seen that often. If you look at the three guys, Kelce, Watkins, and Hill, very rarely do you see all three of them dominate on the stat sheet. And that's actually happened a couple of times this year, which is, to my surprise, I didn't think we'd see that in a single game this year where all three of them do very well statistically, but it's happened a couple of times. But more times than not, we see one of the three not have, a spectacular game when you look at the box score, but that's because they did their jobs in trying to hold up some of the defenders while letting their teammates get open. So I think Sammy Watkins definitely has been a big impact player for Kansas City. And yeah, sure, I know he's dealing with this injury right now, but it's reported as a minor injury, and he, quote-unquote, could miss Sunday's game. So even if he does miss it, he'll likely be back next week by the time the Chiefs go to Mexico City and play the Rams on Monday Night Football. Which, look, I do have to say this with the Cardinals. I was kind of frustrated when I saw this. Confused, flabbergasted. I could throw a few words out there, but a lot of Chiefs fans are entertaining the idea of letting Sammy Watkins sit this out simply because they don't want to risk anything, simply because it's the Cardinals. And I'm just going to say right now, as Chiefs fans, unless you just became a Chiefs fan this season, you never get overconfident with the team. The Chiefs were one of the worst football teams from 2007 through 2012. Only one winning season during that time span. And the Chiefs had their fair share of upsets that they pulled off. Now you look at, ever since Andy Reid got here, we all know about some of the blown leads, and last year especially, some of the upsets that they were a part of when the Chiefs were stunned in some games. So to sit here and say that the Chiefs don't need Sammy Watkins and that they should just simply have him rest because it's the Cardinals, you never say that in the NFL. And I said this on Facebook and Twitter, and I saw someone on Facebook say, look, this isn't college sports. You never underestimate any team in the NFL. Echoing my comments, except for the college football. I wouldn't even say that for college sports, not even high school sports, man. I get every level is different. Look, you're just never, if KU plays a top 25 team every single week, look, I'm going to pick KU to lose every single week. The reality is they're just not good enough to beat one of those teams. But I'm not going to sit here and say it's absolutely impossible and there's no way it happens. If you play a top 25 team 12 times a year, well, odds are you may pull off an upset in one of those games. It's just bound to happen. And in the NFL, listen, overconfidence, it happens everywhere. I've said this story before. I won't go into details with player names, but there was one KU player. KU was getting ready to play one of the Division II schools, or maybe Division III, I don't know. But it was South Dakota State. And I remember interviewing one of the offensive linemen for the Jayhawks, and he said, well, we're going to score a lot of points on them, and all the starters are going to come off in the second half. And me and another reporter just made eye contact when he said that. Both raising eyebrows, and then the PR the PR assistant for the Jayhawks, she immediately came over to us, begged us to not use that soundbite, that quote from the player, because otherwise Coach Charlie Weiss would be mad, and there would be all sorts of punishments coming that player's way. And at the time I was a student reporter, so I didn't want to cross any boundaries. But man, back then, I wish I used it. You have to use that kind of stuff and let it be known that there are overconfident players, in a Division I school in the Big 12. And I think the best overconfidence comparison I can make, last week I saw some Chiefs fans. They felt pretty confident that because the Browns changed head coaches and offensive coordinators, that the Chiefs were just going to roll over the Browns, which obviously that exact thing didn't happen. But look at 2011. The Chiefs fired Todd Haley and they pulled Tyler Palko out. Romeo Crennel was the new head coach. Kyle Orton was announced as the new starting quarterback for the Chiefs. And that all happened 6 days before the Chiefs in week 15 handed the Green Bay Packers their first loss of the season. And I guarantee you there were some Packers that week, players. I'm sure a lot of fans felt this way, but I'm sure there was at least one player, surely had to be at least one player, who went into that game and said, too bad. They're changing head coaches and a quarterback. We've got this in the bag already. So, listen, you can sit here and make a guarantee, and you can be wrong sometimes, but I will never sit here and say that there is absolutely zero chance for a team to win a football game. So for Chiefs fans to suggest the idea that Sammy Watkins should sit this one out simply because it's the Cardinals and you don't want to risk an injury, let me just first off say, if a player is unavailable to the point where he cannot play, then he cannot play. You sit him out. But if he is capable of playing through this pain, then you play him. And you never rest the guy because of the quality of opponent you have coming up. Because that's when you get overconfident, and you can never afford that in the NFL. Look who the Chiefs lost to last year. They beat the Patriots on opening night in the NFL. And then who they lose to later in the year? The Giants of all teams. One of the worst teams in the past couple of years. So, and look, every great team will lose to a team that they absolutely should not have lost to, and every bad team will pick up a stunning win here and there. That happens. But as fans, Chiefs fans especially, you can never think that. I get shocked when I read a tweet with people saying that, you know, forget about Sammy Watkins, just go out there and play without him, even if he can play. That I cannot get behind, because that is when you get overconfident, and that's when it bites you right in the butt. And then you realize that's when overconfidence came to kick in. Because if Andy Reid does this and the Chiefs lose, and there's word out on the street that, okay, Watkins was actually available, guess what? Chiefs fans are going to be criticizing Andy Reid for that. And even a couple would be calling for him to get fired from Kansas City. So you can't ever have that mindset at all as a sports fan, especially a Chiefs fan of all sports fan bases. Chiefs fans should know better than any fan base about overconfidence and big leads. I know fans don't like it. I don't. But that is the reality, folks. And Chiefs fans, I'm pretty flabbergasted that Chiefs fans feel this way going into Sunday's game against Cardinals. Listen, I'm picking the Chiefs to win with or without Sammy Watkins. Yes, you already know my prediction, I guess. But I'm not going to sit here and say, bench Sammy Watkins and just go on without him, whatever. No, you just never do that. And I hope the people listening to this by now with my explanations understand why I'm making this case. So I really wanted to put that out there, because that was being thrown out there by a lot of Chiefs fans this week. You can never, ever underestimate any team in sports, especially in the professional rankings. Moving on now to the Arizona Cardinals, who the Chiefs will be visiting on, or excuse me, the Cardinals will be visiting Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday. Rookie head coach Steve Wilks, in his first year, a longtime assistant in the NFL, has done a lot of defensive duties for other teams in the NFL. Interim offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich, you may remember him, former quarterback of the Jaguars, eventually was replaced by David Garrard in Jacksonville. He is replacing Mike McCoy, who's been the offensive coordinator for the Broncos, was also the head coach for the Chargers. So Byron Leftwich, the offensive coordinator for the remainder of the year. Al Holcomb, he's made the rounds in the NFL. He's the defensive coordinator for the Cardinals. And special teams coordinator Jeff Rogers, he's also made the rounds in the NFL as a special teams coach. And he was credited for helping Matt Prater of the Broncos at the time make the Pro Bowl in 2013. All right, as usual, we'll start with the Cardinals offense. And I've got to tell you, I did some research on this offense, and really, simply said, this is one of the worst offenses in the NFL. I'll just put it this way, because I know I'll read the total points, or points allowed per game, total offense, passing and rushing. I'll just say it like this. They are 31st or 32nd in points per game, total offense, passing, and rushing. It is really bad. Really bad. They're moving the ball 233 yards per game on average. That's dead last in the NFL. The Chiefs are 31st in total defense, so about the same ranking for the Chiefs and Cardinals in that area. So again, I'll get to this later, but usually teams that have the same ranking, an offense versus a defense, generally offensive teams won that battle. Could that change this week? I'll get into that later, but looking at some of the highlights for the Cardinals, or at least the very limited highlights, Larry Fitzgerald, longtime receiver in the NFL, all of them with the Cardinals. He leads the team with 34 catches. Wide receiver Christian Kirk also handles punt return duties. He leads the team in receiving yards with 410. Kirk has 31 grabs. Fitz, by the way, 357 yards. Each of those two receivers I mentioned have a pair of touchdowns on the year. David Johnson, the running back for the Cardinals, 394 yards and 5 touchdowns, but has a 3.2 yard per carry average, so obviously below average compared to the rest of the league. And you look at Johnson, he's third on the team in receptions and is just fourth in receiving yards. Tight end Ricky Seals-Jones is third on the team in receiving yards with 216. You look at the offensive linemen for the Cardinals, not a very good group of interior offensive linemen, but offensive tackles, Andre Smith and DJ Humphreys, they've been the better offensive linemen on this football team, but even these two guys have struggled this year. You look at right tackle Andre Smith, who will be going up against Steve Ford. He's allowed 2 sacks in 5 games that he's played this year, that's actually DJ Humphreys. He's going to be going up against Steve Ford. He's allowed 5 sacks in 8 games. The other guy I just mentioned, Andre Smith, he will likely be going up against Justin Houston. And I'll repeat it again, Smith allowed 2 sacks in 5 games. I misread who they were going up against, but Smith is going up against Justin Houston if he plays, and Humphreys will be facing Steve Ford. And look, if Justin Houston plays, I think Smith and Humphreys, the two offensive tackles for the Cardinals, they're going to have their hands full, and it's going to be a long afternoon for Josh Rosen at Arrowhead. He's played in 6 games this year. He started in 5 of them, and he's got 5 touchdown passes, 6 picks. He had a pair of picks, pick sixes against the Cardinals against the Broncos a couple of weeks ago on Thursday Night Football. He's fumbled the ball 3 times, lost it twice, so 8 turnovers for him on the year and just 5 touchdown passes. He's completed 56% of his throws. And by the way, backup quarterback Sam Bradford was recently let go by the Cardinals. Look, KC's defense is bad, and the Cardinals' offense is bad. Again, generally when an offense and defense are ranked the same, whether they're both the best, number one, or both the worst, or close enough to each other, or they're both right in the middle of the pack, generally, the offense wins this battle. Can Arizona use this as fuel to the fire and use this opportunity to get through some of the glaring holes on Kansas City's defense that we've seen? Yes, I think the Cardinals will do that occasionally, but it'll be similar to the Browns game last week, where they'll put up some points, they'll gain some yards and move the football around, but they won't be able to do it on a consistent basis. They'll be limited at times, and Kansas City's defense, again, not consistent, but they do have some playmakers that can come away with some big stops on second and third downs and force them to punt the football away. So I do anticipate Kansas City's defense allowing some yards and allowing some points, but again, being at Arrowhead and having that home factor, especially with this 8-1 record, I think you're going to be able to get more stops than not this Sunday. Looking at Arizona's defense, 22nd in total defense, 7th against the pass, 31st against the run, one of the worst run-stopping defenses, allowing 143 yards per game. I think you already know who could have a big game this Sunday, and they were allowing nearly 25 points per game, which is 18th in the league. So there's a good chance for Kareem Hunt to get through this defense. You look at the leaders in tackles. You've got Buda Baker, who leads the team in total tackles with 72. Then you've got Anton Bethea, leads the team in solo tackles with 56. Two safeties who are leading your team in either total tackles or solo tackles. And at this point, you already know that a lot of running backs, a big reason why that they are second to worst in the league in stopping the run, well, their running backs are going up, and it's up to those safeties, because they're faster than the defensive linemen and the linebackers, to end the plays. So that's why they're getting a lot of the tackles. I know statistically it looks nice, But when you look at the game film and you study why they're so bad, then you realize why a player, why a safety, multiple safeties are your team leaders in tackles. Not a good thing at all for any football team, especially, I mean, on the defensive side, of course. So you've got those two safeties I mentioned, Antoine Bethea and Buda Baker. Trey Boston, he returned to practice this week. He leads the team with three picks despite missing the last two games due to a chest injury. And Patrick Peterson, a top 10 quarterback in the league, everyone knows about his frustration. He almost came to Kansas City, or at least a lot of Chiefs fans were hoping he would have came to Kansas City. He's got two interceptions this year, including one against the Broncos. Including one against the Broncos on that Thursday night football matchup just a couple of weeks ago. You look at the front seven for the Cardinals. Defensive end Chandler Jones, one of the better pass rushers in the league. Six and a half sacks, three forced fumbles. That will be Eric Fisher's biggest challenge, and possibly the key for the Cardinals in pulling off a big upset. If Chandler Jones has a monster game and keeps getting to Patrick Mahomes, then there's a good chance that this Chiefs offense could be limited for the first time this year, and maybe if Arizona does it right, if they play their cards right on offense, they could have a big lead on Kansas City. So that would be their best bet for pulling off an upset. But I think Eric Fisher, he's gone up against some tough competition. He's been up and down this year. There have been games where he's looked like a Pro Bowl caliber left tackle, and some games where he just looks average. But I wouldn't say he's had anything worse than that this year. So I think he'll be able to handle Chandler Jones. Maybe he will allow a sack, but I don't think it'll go beyond that. Keep in mind, Mahomes has not been sacked more than twice in a game this year. So when you look at the offensive line and how the Chiefs have done, plus his mobility, that helps. And that certainly bodes well for this Chiefs offense. And, you know, you evade those defenders and you're opportunistic with all of the playmakers you've got around you. So that's a big thing that the Chiefs have going with this offensive line and with Patrick Mahomes. Other players on the defensive line, Marcus Golden, Robert, I know I'm going to butcher this one, Nick Dyche, and Corey Peters, all occasional contributors for the Cardinals' defensive line. All of those three combined for 5.5 sacks, obviously not matching Chandler Jones' 6.5 sacks on the year. Outside linebacker Josh Bynes, probably the best player, and I would even be willing to put him ahead of Patrick Peterson, probably the best player on this defense, a really good run-stopping linebacker. Best linebacker on the team by far. He has 61 tackles. By the way, Pro Football Focus, for what that's worth to you, which should be a lot, he is ranked the third best run-stopping linebacker in the league. So you know he's definitely a guy who's going to have his eyes on Kareem Hunt in this football game. You're ranked 31st against the run, but he is the one guy out there that does consistently well in trying to stop a running back. So Josh Bynes will definitely try his best to close in on Kareem Hunt and Spencer Ware as much as possible in this football game. Quick look at special teams for the Cards. Christian Kirk, I mentioned earlier, he's also the punt returner, has 10 punt returns, averaging 7.8 yards per return. Longest one went for 44 yards. Brandon Williams handles the kick return duties. His longest went for 29 yards. So out of those 10 kick returns, not a whole lot going for him. Punter Andy Lee, he's punted 47 times. That's fourth most in the league. The Chiefs faced Britton Colquitt, Dustin Colquitt's brother, last week. He's punted the ball more than 60 times. That's the most in the NFL. And now the Chiefs are going to be facing another punter who's in the top five in total punts. But even when he does go out there and punt as much, he still does very well. Second highest average in punts, also ties ninth in net average punts. And their kicker, Phil Dawson, you probably know who he is if you've been watching football for a long time. He's been kicking since 1999. I graduated second grade in 1999 in good old Olathe, Kansas. Yes, Heatherstone Elementary School. That's where I went for second grade. He is 4 of 6 for field goals. He's on pace to have just 8 field goals this year. That would tie him for the fewest he's ever had in a single season, which would be from his rookie season of 1999. So there you have it. Phil Dawson kicking since 99, but not kicking a whole lot this year for the Cardinals. All right, I mentioned earlier, I do have the Chiefs winning this football game. How exactly they win? Well, I'm going to make a bold prediction here. If you look at Dustin Colquitt And you guys might be wondering where I'm going with this. If you look at Dustin Kolk at the last five games, he's averaging 2 punts per game. Now, that includes the 0 punts against the Bengals, and then it also includes the 5 punts he had a couple of weeks ago against the Broncos. If you remember, he's hardly been on the field lately for the Chiefs. So I think Dustin Colquitt will have a game in which he doesn't punt the football once. He'll do that for the second time this season, having 0 punts, and his only duty will simply be to hold the football for PATs and field goals. Maybe they have him, maybe they let him go out there and do a kickoff. Occasionally, you'll see that if a kicker or a punter rather does not get to go out there, then they might let him go out there once for a kickoff. But some do, some don't. Either way, I'm going on a bold prediction here. I'm going to say that the Chiefs score on every single drive, no turnovers, no punts, and I think they get 5 touchdowns. 3 field goals out of this. I think that's how it goes down. So my score, 44-17. I think Arizona will do some things in the first half, but I think in the second half, that's when they get shut down. You'll just see this Chiefs defense. First off, with the offense for the Cardinals, again, they'll move the football a bit, but it's going to be too much with D Ford, possibly Justin Houston, Chris Jones. You know, he's making some plays. Alan Bailey is quietly having a very good season, so this Chiefs defense does have playmakers that can go out there and just disrupt the pocket and give a rookie quarterback like Josh Rosen a hard time. Yes, I did say earlier, generally when offenses and defenses are ranked about the same, offenses win that battle, and there are rare occasions when they don't, and I think this is one of them because you've got a rookie quarterback who is struggling, lost his offensive coordinator, so he's learning some new things on the go, and it's just going to be hard for him in this football game at a loud environment like Arrowhead. So I think the Cardinals will be shut down in the second half, and the Chiefs will do their thing from start to finish. I think Kareem Hunt will have another big game. Mahomes does have great games. I mean, 375 yards and 3 touchdown passes last week. Yes, he had the interception, but that was right before halftime as time expired. At that point, that's a great game for a quarterback, but we don't treat it like it's a great game because we want more from Mahomes. And I get that. I really do. But when you have a great running game like the Chiefs do, obviously that can easily take precedent, and you just let that kind of take over a football game. I mentioned last week I wanted that for the Browns game, and it ended up being the case. Maybe not to the extent that I thought it was going to be, I think that running game is going to be the key again. They're gonna run the ball a lot more. They're not gonna be pass heavy as much as they've been earlier in the year. They'll let the running game take over, and I see the Chiefs winning this one, 44-17, improving to 9-1 on the season, finishing above 500 for the 6th. Consecutive year. I think they do it, and again, 6th time they'll do it, that'll be the 3rd best in franchise history. The Chiefs have had 9 consecutive years above 500, twice, once under Hank Stram and the other under Marty Schottenheimer. So I think they do it again. They'll finish above 500 under Andy Reid, doing so in all 6 seasons. Let me know your thoughts on my predictions. Facebook.com/FarzineVesugian, Twitter.com/Farzine21, and my email, Farzine@FarzineVesugian.com. Time to wrap up the show. Let's go around the NFL. I mentioned this last episode when we were looking at league standings, and the Chiefs right now tied for first place in the NFL for the best record. That's because the Saints pulled off that big upset win over the Rams. I don't know if I'd call it a big upset, because the Rams do have a great record and they're a great team, but anytime when you face an undefeated team and you hand them their first loss, it's always going to be viewed as an upset. But not only do the Rams hand the Rams their first loss of the year, they go pick up Dez Bryant off the street. Wide receiver Dez Bryant, a free agent up until now, signed him to a 1-year deal. And look, it's a perfect situation for Dez Bryant. Might still have it, maybe he doesn't, we'll see. And he has the right quarterback in Drew Brees, who will help him maximize his potential at this stage of his career. You look at some of the other targets who the Saints have: Michael Thomas, Ted Ginn Jr., Benjamin Watson, Trayvon Smith, oh, and Alvin Kamara too, who's just doing a phenomenal job for the Saints offense. The Saints offense is very dynamic right now, might be the best right next to Kansas City's, and it's going to be very interesting to see if the Chiefs and Saints ever played head-to-head. Only way that's possible in the Super Bowl. boy, this has the potential to be a shootout, probably the highest scoring game in Super Bowl history. So that would be very interesting to see in this year's Super Bowl in Atlanta. So keep an eye out for that. Dez Bryant now to the Saints. How is that going to go for the Saints offense? One thing that's not going so well this year, rookie quarterbacks. We just talked about Josh Rosen. Look at Sam Darnold. He's got a foot injury. He's going to miss a game at least for the Bills, according to reports. Baker Mayfield, who the Chiefs went up against last week for the Browns. Mayfield lost his head coach and offensive coordinator as a rookie. That's never an ideal situation. You look at these situations that these rookie quarterbacks are put in right now, and listen, it's not their fault that they're struggling or that their coaches are getting fired. But I think something needs to be said about how you approach going with these rookie QB. Look at Patrick Mahomes. He didn't play last year until week 17, when it was a lot of the backups that came in for the Chiefs. Are NFL teams going to look at the Patrick Mahomes situation and say, hey, look, we may not have a big-name player, and Aaron Rodgers would be another great example as well, but do you let your rookie QB sit back a little bit longer than a couple of games, and then you eventually make the transition? Because I don't know if, realistically, throwing a player in there right away or two, three games in will work. It does occasionally, but maybe you could benefit having them sit back for a year. Again, I don't know. Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, they both backed up some good quarterbacks. Brett Favre, not on the same level. I mean, he's way above Alex Smith, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, those are both good quarterbacks. And they both had a lot of great weapons on at wide receiver, running back, tight end for both Rodgers and Mahomes to step into. So not every quarterback gets that opportunity. And I get Darnold and Mayfield and Rosen, they don't have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Pro Bowlers at all three of the main positions, receiver, tight end, and running back. But maybe you could still benefit from letting them sit a little bit longer than a couple of games or so. I don't know. But maybe that would change some of their fortunes for rookie quarterbacks in the future. Final thing I want to touch on here, former Vikings defensive tackle Sharif Floyd suing Dr. James Andrews $180 million. Also, a couple of other people involved in this lawsuit who Floyd is going after. This is due to the fact that Floyd needed knee surgery, and once doctors began the process for the operation, they determined Floyd needed a microfracture surgery that required them to drill into the bone, and when they did that, that caused bleeding and required him to receive a post-operation pain blocker. All of that according to the Associated Press. Let me just say this. I've torn my ACL before and meniscus at the same time and went in for a knee reconstruction. I actually had it done by the doctor who is the doctor for Sporting Kansas City. Let me just say this. It is kind of a nerve-wracking feeling because I've never had surgery before. So this is my first time. And crazy enough, I actually watched YouTube videos, like 30 to 40 minute different YouTube videos leading up to my surgery, actually watching how the surgery went. I know that's a crazy thing to do, but man, when I'm going to be under the knife, I want to know what's going to be done to my knee. I just want to know, especially when you're putting all that money out there for this knee surgery to happen. But man, for Sharif Floyd, very unfortunate situation because this accident during the surgery, it has actually hurt him in being able to play football. And obviously not a very ideal situation. And I think, look, and by the way, James Andrews, for those who don't know, he is the guy who pro athletes, especially NFL players, go see for a big knee surgery. So this is obviously a very rare situation for him. I know generally we talk about, you know, you can't be perfect every single time, but in a field where you're doing surgery, you've got to be 100 out of 100. It's one of those things where people are paying a lot of money. It is someone's body, their health, and you've got to be able to do it right every single time. And I'm with Floyd. Now, I don't know the cost, if that's reasonable, if that's a realistic lawsuit there that he's going for, but I am on his side in this case because, look, it is a very serious issue, and for him to not be able to play football anymore, or at least that's what seems to be the case, I can understand him wanting to file this lawsuit and try to get a lot of money out of it, because this is how he envisioned himself trying to make a career and how trying to make a lot of money out of it. So going to be very interesting to see how this unfolds. One of the stories that I'll definitely follow for sure and perhaps even follow up on with this podcast. So we'll see how that goes. Let's go Out of Bounds. As I'm sure all of you have heard, Kansas has announced it will not retain David Beatty after the conclusion of the 2018 season. By the way, former Kansas Jayhawks linebacker drafted by the Raiders, he's, I believe, with the Texans now, Ben Heaney tweeted, and he lashed out on Charlie Weiss, saying that, look, he understands why Beatty was fired, but no head coach could go to Kansas and pick up the mess that Charlie Weiss created. He actually went on the record and saying Charlie Weiss left the program in shambles. Boy, I mean, those are very strong words from someone who played for Weiss. And I don't know, man. I just don't know why it didn't work for Charlie Weiss. He is a great offensive mind, and there is no defense in the Big 12. Patrick Mahomes will tell you that first. And I just can't imagine why he could not figure it out in the Big 12. I just cannot understand that. But anyway, it's now being rumored that Kansas will go from having the worst football team in the world to possibly hiring one of the best coaches in college football in Les Miles. Lots of reports out there that the Chiefs, or excuse me, the Jayhawks, they are the front runners in getting Les Miles. Won a national title with LSU in 2007, has helped LSU win the SEC a couple of times. And look, I mean, the SEC is very difficult. Obviously, everyone knows, a very difficult conference. If KU picks this up, not only, I mean, they go from the worst team to possibly the best coached team in the Big 12. Now, it might take a while for those wins to get there, but with Les Miles, there's a reason to be patient there. You know you'll at least get a couple of wins in that first year under Les Miles. But you look at the coaches that you have in the Big 12 right now, obviously Bill Snyder, a class act coach, not just as a person, but even on the field. And KU would have a better coach than K-State. That would be crazy. Man, that would be a huge turn of events if KU got Les Miles. And I think there would be competition as to who is going to be more entertaining. The football team or the basketball team? We haven't been able to say that in a while in Lawrence, but if Les Miles goes there, boy, that would be different, and I could see the Jayhawks being a competitive team in a couple of years under Les Miles. As a Jayhawks fan, boy, would I love that. Finally, you would see a lot of relevancy for football in Lawrence. Speaking of relevancy, Floyd Mayweather trying to still be relevant, I'm not sure. He was in Japan and he did a press conference to promote his MMA debut with a promotion called Ryzen. They're basically the UFC equivalency in Japan. A big MMA promotion in Japan. He announced his opponent and his date in a press conference he was a part of. It was supposed to be on New Year's Eve, fighting a guy named Tenshin Nasukawa. He's a kickboxing phenomenon in Japan, but then he went on his Instagram page on Wednesday and said he never agreed to anything. He said that once he returned to the U.S. I'm not exactly sure what's going on here with Floyd Mayweather. You did a press conference saying that you're going to fight in Ryzen and you're going to fight Tenshin Nasukawa. So I'm not exactly sure what happened, what was agreed upon, what was signed, what wasn't, but you know, I'm kind of shocked because Floyd was expected to have his MMA debut in the UFC, but not the case. Speaking of the UFC, they had a blockbuster trade, which you hardly ever see in MMA. They traded the guy who was the first ever flyweight champ, also main evented in Kansas City, the only UFC event in KC, Demetrius Johnson, been known to be one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world. They traded him to an organization called ONE Championship, which is, again, the UFC equivalency, this time in Asia. They have shows all over Asia. In return, the UFC got Ben Askren, who is a former Missouri Tiger. I've said this before, Mizzou has a phenomenal wrestling program, and a lot of great wrestlers have been in MMA today. You have Michael Chandler, who was the lightweight champ in Bellator. He is likely going to make the jump to the UFC. Tyron Woodley is currently the welterweight champion in the UFC. And now you've got Ben Askren. By the way, Ben Askren, he's 24-0 in his MMA career. He's finally going to come to the big leagues in the UFC. And boy, he's already making the most of his opportunity, trash-talking with a lot of the welterweights, calling out fighters. So if you are a Mizzou fan and maybe you don't follow MMA a whole lot or you know a little bit, well, this would be a good time to get into it because Ben Askren is going to be, I think, a big star in the UFC. And it'd be crazy to see him and Tyron Woodley go at it. Mizzou Tiger versus Mizzou Tiger. That'd be very cool to see in the UFC. Final segment of the show, let's throw some penalty flags. Reports came out Sunday morning that offensive coordinator for the Patriots, Josh McDaniels, is apparently open to head coaching jobs again. They discussed this during the broadcast on Sunday Night Football about giving him a second chance and how maybe a GM will do his due diligence in trying to figure out why the situation happened with Philadelphia or Indianapolis, rather. Why would you trust this guy? Listen, he had a bad stint in Denver. Now, everyone deserves a second chance, but when you were given one and when you verbally agreed to it and then you backed out, I don't know if I would even believe that. Well, why would you risk it? Because you know that there's a chance that the Patriots could have a long postseason. And therefore, as an NFL team, if you do make the decision to hire him, well, you have to wait a bit before it's official, and he could back out while other candidates are being hired. It's just a risky move. Listen, I do think everyone deserves a second chance, but McDaniels pulled a that's the biggest middle finger you could give without actually giving it in the NFL. It's truly a crappy thing to do, and I just don't know why any team would even want to risk hiring McDaniels. Honestly, the only chance McDaniels has at head coaching and earning someone's trust is if Belichick retires. Take over that Patriots job. Because at this point, if I'm an NFL GM, I do not trust McDaniels one bit. And I don't know how much you want to trust this source, but former Raiders offensive line coach David Deal was on WFAN in New York, and he revealed that former quarterback Jamarcus Russell, who was taken number one overall in 2007, was also Dwayne Bowe's teammate over at LSU, and also played under Les Miles, who could be a KU coach soon. But apparently Jamarcus Russell was given blank tapes in 2008, and he was told to go, quote-unquote, study those tapes. The Raiders coaching staff did this because they believed that he would not study game film, so they gave him blank tapes. Yes, they used tapes in 2008 still. So anyway, they give it to him. He goes home, he comes back, and he tells the coaches that he studied the tapes. Listen, this guy had tremendous talent and obviously had a phenomenal college career, and he got the dream to play in the NFL. Why in the hell would you not take the NFL seriously? You know there's an opportunity for you to not just have a lot of fun playing football for a living, but making so much. Being the number one overall pick, you can make tons of money out of this. He made a lot of money by lying to his coaches, saying that he studied the blank tapes on game film. That is a totally got you moment where you just got caught in a lie. I just despise this. I don't understand why you would waste your talents like that in life. Whether it's football or whatever it is that you are great at, you're taking a spot from someone who wanted it obviously more than you did. Shame on Jamarcus Russell, man, if this is true, because that is one wasted opportunity, and you obviously got caught in a very, very easy lie. And some controversy to wrap things up. Obviously, Halloween was last week. There are teachers at an elementary school in Idaho. They are at the center of controversy because they dressed up. They dressed up as different characters, but they all had a border wall in front of them. It was a brick wall. And this, they had a sign across the wall that said, "Make America Great Again." Obviously, referring to what Donald Trump wants in building a wall between the U.S. and Mexican borders. So they posed and they took the picture and they put it on Facebook because some genius thought, hey, there's no such thing as outrage on social media, so let's go ahead and post this online. What's the worst that could happen? So petitions have been created, one to terminate these teachers, and also one of them was a principal too, I forgot to mention. There's another petition trying to protect all of these teachers and the principal involved. Apparently, they've been getting death threats, and they've had to heighten security at the elementary school, which is just horrific, just hearing that part alone. There have been people protesting with signs across the street, and people also holding up signs across the street supporting these teachers. Obviously, a lot of people have their thoughts on this. Sensitivity training, by the way, required for the school for the remainder of the year. Let me just say this. Here's why I'm throwing the flag. Not because they did something stupid and dressing up like this, but you put it on social media. I mean, do people not follow the news? Do people not see that when someone makes a racist comment and when it gets caught on film, their lives just completely crumble? They lose their jobs. There was a woman a couple weeks ago. She was a white woman berating two African-American women, saying that she should call the cops and that she thinks they're up to no good, made a couple of racist comments, and that woman not only got evicted from her apartment, but also lost her job, and there was obviously footage of her saying a lot of these things. Do people not, and that's just one of many, many, many examples. There was an attorney in New York who went off on a woman for speaking in Spanish. And his law firm got shut down because of this. The tenant, forced him out. Or he was forced out as a tenant, I should say. Look, people have to be following the news. If you're a teacher, you damn sure have to know what's going on in the world. So I'm sure these teachers have been tuning into the media. And they hear about outrage from someone and it gets caught on social media. So why are you posting this picture on Facebook when you know there's going to be at least one person who disagrees with you strongly politically? And look, maybe they're not even for the wall. Maybe they're just doing it as a joke, but not everyone's going to take it that way. Again, say what you want about today's sensitivity in the world. Everyone's different, man. You just cannot control how people take things. If I make a joke with one person, they may love it. If I make the same joke with another person, they may take it the wrong way and want to kill me for it. Everybody's different with how they take comedic events. What can I say? You have to at least be considerate. And hey, listen, I crack a lot of jokes on social media, but I always think twice before posting them. And I say, look, is this a good idea? Is everyone going to be accepting of this? Or will there be somebody that will take serious offense to what I post? And I think in this day and age, especially when you have some followers, and even if you don't have followers, but if you work in a public place like a school where you could represent the school for a bad moment on social media, you just got to think twice with everything now. It's crazy, but it's the truth. And I just cannot understand why these teachers posed for a picture and not one of them said, hey, look, this is kind of a touchy subject. Let's not post this on our Facebook pages. But apparently that slipped through all of their minds. I just don't know how that's possible as we get closer to 2019. And everyone should know that in this social media era, these things happen. I just don't understand why people don't think twice with these kinds of things. Drives me nuts. But that's how, that's what this segment's for. That's what it's for. It's for people like these teachers. That'll do it for this episode of the Chiefs Zone Podcast. I'm Farzi Vasugi, and thank you all for downloading and listening to the podcast. Hope you all enjoy the rest of your week. Hope you all have a great weekend. Enjoy the Chiefs game on Sunday as they play host to the Cardinals at Arrowhead Stadium. Drive safe if you're going to the game. Facebook.com/Farzi Vasugi. Facebook page. Give it a like. Follow me on there. We'll do the live videos on Sunday at halftime and after the game. follow me on Twitter as well, at Farzine21, plus my email, farzine@farzivisugian.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Share it as well. Spread the word for the podcast. Until then, I'll talk to you guys on Sunday for our Facebook Live videos at halftime and after the game, and we will do our post-podcast Sunday night. Make sure you're subscribed. Talk to you guys on social media as well. Enjoy your weekend. Talk to you guys next week.